Welcome back to Upstate's Health Link on Air. Linda Cohen along with you. Is there a sleepy, grumpy child in your life? Well, if the answer is yes, you're not alone. Sleep problems are common in childhood, and as many as 30% of children may have a sleep disorder at some point during this period. And these don't simply represent a disruption for the family. They affect the child directly, and they can lead to social and emotional problems like moodiness or problems in school as well. So in response to this, Upstate Medical University is expanding its sleep services for children. And joining us this morning to tell us all about it is Dr. Safir Sultan, Associate Professor of Pediatrics specializing in pediatric pulmonary medicine and the director of the Pediatric Sleep Center at the Upstate Golisano Children's Hospital. Welcome, Dr. Sultan. Thank you so much for coming.
And good morning for everybody.
Yes. So first of all, how do these pediatric sleep disturbances create havoc for families? What for the children, what do they do?
Well, the sleep disturbances in pediatrics vary. There are breathing disorders related to sleep, which means breathing problems which occur during sleep. And the most common problem is the what we call obstructive sleep apnea. Obstructive sleep apnea is children who have difficulty breathing to the degree that they stop breathing while asleep. And this problem occurs most commonly in kids secondary to large tonsils and adenoids. So the problem to the family is that they observe that there's something wrong with the child breathing. They observe or witness the child struggling to breathe, waking up frequently at night, snoring loudly with pauses and gasping for air. And in fact, that disturbs the family because we hear this always, that the parents need to stay awake just to watch the child in order for them to stimulate the child so they will, the children, so they breathe again or change their position. So it's a disturbance for the family and for the child's sleep.
It must be quite frightening, it would seem to me, though, to realize that, you know, especially with all the sudden infant death syndrome, you know, information out there, to to find that your child is having trouble breathing and that being the main thing that's interrupting their sleep.
Yeah, I want to clarify. This is not has not been found to be related to sudden infant death syndrome.
Right.
What I'm describing now is the obstructive sleep apnea, which
right.
occur all across the ages of pediatrics, from actually newborn till what we cover, which is 18 years. So definitely, when it occur in newborn, it's possible that that would be potentially cause of sudden infant death, but this hasn't been well documented or described. Nonetheless, it's definitely more dangerous in newborn as compared to older kids. Usually when it occur in a newborn and infant, it's secondary to an anomaly in the airway of the newborn. They are born with congenital anomaly, and they do present similar to what I described. Again, the parent will observe disturbance of breathing. After the first year of life, the most common problem is usually, as I have said, is the large tonsils and adenoids. And then again, they will present the same thing with snoring and apnea and fragmented sleep. Now, to continue on your question, what else can, how this sleep issues disturb children and family? The other part of the disturbance is the behavioral problems, the what we call it insomnia and parasomnia associated with sleep. It's events or problems with sleep. Insomnia, I think we heard recently Dr. Westlake talking about insomnia in adults. It's actually similar in pediatrics. We have similar problems in older children, which I hope all audience heard Dr. Westlake. But we have something unique to pediatric. And in fact, that thing which is unique to pediatric, maybe the seeds which start early in life and end up with a problem as adulthood, that is behavioral problems. So what parent will observe? They will observe that the child having difficulty falling asleep, exactly like adult, like it's hard for the child to fall asleep or to maintain sleep. And the most common problem in kids is the behavioral, that it's hard for them to fall asleep because they haven't learned how to sleep on their own. Since they were babies, they learned that in order to sleep, they need to be in the hand of the mom or dad, rocked on a chair, and then they fall asleep in the arm of the parent, and they're put in bed. These children do not know how to sleep on their own, and unless they are provided with the mom and dad, they won't be able to sleep.
So that's interesting. Let me just make a distinction here. You're saying that there's a lot of sleep problems in children that are caused due to something medical, anatomical, like this obstruction,
yes,
in their sleep, much,
yes,
like adults have.
When
I've always heard sleep apnea described in relation to adults, and you're,
yes,
saying it exists throughout children,
yes,
in the spectrum. But now what you're talking about are behavioral things that are learned.
Yes.
So that a child, for example, who early on in their life either had nightmares or didn't want to go to sleep by themselves, if the parent then indulges that and reinforces that, it continues through life and they feel throughout their childhood that they can't fall asleep alone.
You're correct in part. This is actually type. What you described is another issue, which we call it limit setting problem.
Mm-hmm.
That this is a child who keep having what we call curtain calls, like they keep coming out to the audience, to the parents, with,
yeah,
different requests. And the reason they do that, one of the things you mentioned, that is having nightmares, night fears. Other reason, just because they never had limit setting in the family to say that you got to go to bed and sleep. That's part of it. The other part is they're still very young. They don't have any curtain calls, but basically they haven't learned that you can sleep on your own. You don't have to be in the mother or the father arm to fall asleep. So this infant learned that the only way to fall asleep is to be in the arm of the mom. And then when they're left alone in bed and when they wake up in the middle of the night, they scream and they cry. And this is the way they present.
Mm-hmm.
The parent tell you that my child cannot maintain sleep because they keep crying for me to hold them.
So I guess the question I have to ask,
yeah,
that occurs to me is, how do we know, or how do you characterize some of these things as a disorder,
mm-hmm,
versus just a kind of normal developmental...
When there are consequences to it, when there are consequences on the family and on the children. Like, for example, a lot of kids snore, much more commonly. Snoring is actually occur commonly, maybe 10... We don't know exactly, probably 10 to 15% of kids snore, but not all these kids have obstructive sleep apnea. And even if they do have some sort of a few apnea episodes, if they do not have daytime consequences to that, when I said these kids struggle to breathe and they wake up frequently, so secondary to the fragmentation of their sleep, next day they do develop sometimes a difficulty in learning, cognitive deficits, behavioral problems, attention deficit, hyperactivity. If there are consequences, we call it disorder. And the same for the other part, which is the insomnia part. I said in kids, the insomnia, most type what we encounter is the behavioral insomnia. The same thing. If the parents are happy with this arrangement, there is no disorder here. In fact, it's sometimes it varies by type of family, by tradition.
Culture.
They don't mind that the child wake up and they go to the child to hold them, to carry them. But sometimes it disturbs the life very much of the family and the child. And the child do not get adequate sleep. And next day, again, they will manifest as the children with obstructive sleep apnea. Same thing, cognitive problem, behavioral problem, because they can't sleep.
So whatever the cause, it sounds like if it's causing a significant set of secondary problems like learning problems, hyperactivity, even failure to thrive, I would think.
Yeah,
some
absolutely.
Things.
Yeah, this can happen. Yeah.
In that case, then you would consider it a disorder. So
yes.
Let me cut to the chase. I don't want to run out of time. So you are expanding your services.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, we are proud to have what I can call comprehensive sleep center. We have a sleep center with. We have a part of it is the sleep center, and these are the clinics where we do the evaluations, located at Upstate Medical University. And we have the sleep lab, the pediatric specialized sleep lab with experienced technician, which is located at our campus at Community General Hospital. So now we are offering comprehensive service. We're offering comprehensive evaluation by two board-certified pediatric sleep specialists and by sleep psychologist, and also we have services to provide behavioral therapy to treat insomnia in children, and also we have the facility to do the evaluations to diagnose sleep apnea and then of course treat it, and the treatment for sleep apnea can be via surgery, We have, of course, a good ENT service to perform needed surgeries. And also we provide sometimes treatment for the sleep apnea via what we call it positive airway pressure therapy.
The CPAP,
yes, right, absolutely. And that's also, this modality of treatment is available, and we provide it. And we have, actually, this is not easy service, it's not easy treatment for kids, so it needs some sort of a behavioral therapy with it for the child to accept it.
Because it's a mechanism they have to wear.
Yes, so we have also behavioral clinic to help the family and children accepting this kind of equipment they need to wear.
So very briefly, if somebody is referred to you, well, obviously if somebody has a concern out there that their child has any of these issues, or they're pulling their hair out because they're not sleeping because their child's not sleeping, you would recommend, obviously, they check with their pediatrician.
Yes, absolutely.
And then the pediatrician has the opportunity to refer to your sleep center.
Yes, absolutely.
So once they come to you, just briefly tell me what happens.
Well, they will be evaluated by a sleep specialist to sort out the problem. Is it a behavioral problem? And then they will do the recommend the proper treatment, advices, recommendations, counseling. And if we feel it is a breathing problem, then the patient will undergo a sleep study. That's at our campus at Community General Hospital to identify the exact problem of breathing and determine the treatment needed.
And who else is, you alluded to some other people who are on your team. Tell us more about who's part of the team.
We have Dr. Larry Constantine, who is also board certified in sleep medicine, myself. We have Dr. Courtney Dumont, who is specialized in behavioral sleep medicine, in pediatric in particular. We have a child life specialist who is also trained on helping the family, assisting kids in coping with the burden of some therapies we alluded to. And we have a nurse practitioner too, who has expertise in sleep medicine and who can also evaluate the patient and do the triaging, which clinic she needs to send them to. Is it a behavioral therapy or is it a sleep study and eventually treatment?
So initially they come for the diagnosis, whether it be hands-on at that time or whether they have to come for the sleep study.
Yes.
And then a recommendation is made. Are they followed on a regular basis if they need be?
Well, depend on the problem.
Sure,
some problems, like if it is obstructive sleep apnea secondary to large tonsils adenoid and treated and improved, then we don't follow them on a regular basis. If it's a behavioral problem, then it depends on the how big is of a problem. Sometimes more than one session is needed, and discussions about teaching kids coping mechanism, teaching family how to handle different kind of scenarios and situations. So follow-up will be needed.
And it's interesting because at one time you were only seeing children as young as two. Now you go down to infancy?
Yes, absolutely. It's a comprehensive center. We evaluate kids of all age group, and that's from newborns. Newborns get breathing problems. And that's, as I've stated, mostly secondary to congenital anomalies till 18 years of age. And the sleep lab can perform studies on all this age group.
Well, Dr. Safir Sultan, you have been wonderful coming in and telling us about all this stuff. It's very exciting that we have something of this quality and caliber here in Central New York. So thanks again for coming in. My guest has been Dr. Safir Sultan, Associate Professor of Pediatrics specializing in pediatric pulmonary medicine, and he's the director of the Pediatric Sleep Center at Upstate Golisano Children's Hospital. We'll be right back after this short break.